This morning I'd like you to think of a time when you were at home and when you were safe and secure, maybe a time from childhood if that was a safe and secure time for you, a time when you were surrounded by safety and security, when you were loved, when you didn't have to worry about anything. And think back to the sights and the sounds that you experienced at that time. I can hear the screen door slam on the back porch as my mom steps out and calls, "Billy, Tommy, Betty, time for dinner." Wouldn't it be nice if we could go back to those days when we had the freedom and the simplicity of childhood and everything was taken care of for us? I think in some ways we spend our whole lives trying to go back to that time of childhood when we were safe and secure. We're trying to go back home. Not physically, but emotionally. No matter how old we are, no matter how far away we get, we have that memory, that image in our minds of what it was like when we were kids, when we were safe, when we were at home. Psychologists might say that it's the memory of the womb, when we were surrounded by our mother's love and we could hear our mother's heartbeat. You know, we always retain that image, that feeling in our minds, and we always want to go back. You might say that we were born at one with God, and we spend our whole lives trying to get back home where we are again, one with God. The gospel story today is a homecoming parable. I know sometimes it is called the parable of the prodigal son, but I want to think about it this morning as a homecoming story. Jesus says a man had two sons, and the younger son told his father, "Give me half of my inheritance. I'm sick of this place. I want to get out of here, and I'm ready for adventure." And so the father divided his property among his two sons. Now you can imagine what an insult this was for the younger son to ask for his inheritance while his father was still living. Because it was as if he was saying the old man had already died. Normally, the sons would stay on the father's property until he died, and then they would divide up the inheritance. But by asking for his inheritance now, the younger son is acting as if his father was already dead. So his father agrees, comes up with the money, and gives it to the younger son, and he takes off for a far country where he squanders it in dissolute living. Well, he uses it all up, and he finds himself hungry. There's a famine in the land, and he doesn't have anything to eat, so he hires himself out to one of the farmers, and the farmer sends him out into the fields to feed the pigs. And when he gets out there, he's hit bottom. This is as low as a Jewish boy can go, because pigs are unclean, and here he is feeding the pigs with food that he himself would gladly eat, and he's starving. And He thinks about his home. He thinks, you know, just about now, the workers are coming in from the fields and the table is being set, and soon they'll sit down at the table to enough food for everyone, and my father will say the blessing. He has that memory of home. And he says, "I know what I'll do. I will get up and I will go to my father and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Take me in as one of your slaves.'" Well, I think we are all trying to get home like the prodigal son. This seems to be an image that's universal with all people. There are so many stories and movies and songs about going home. Think about The Wizard of Oz. You know, Dorothy and Toto are picked up and they're taken by the tornado to a land called Oz. And Dorothy says, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore, Toto. And the rest of the movie is about how they're going to get back to Kansas. Or think of the Odyssey by Homer. Odysseus goes on a journey, but it takes way longer than he thinks. It takes 20 years for him to get back home. The whole story is about what it takes to get home. Or that song by Simon and Garfunkel about a one-man band, a poet who's going on the road, taking one-night stands, and says, homeward bound, I wish I was. Home, where my thoughts escaping. Home, where my music's playing. Home, where my love lies waiting silently. We're all trying to get back home. We want a wholeness that we know is at home. I think the Bible is one big story about going home. If you think of the Garden of Eden as our home, in the Garden of Eden we had everything we needed. There was all the food we wanted. There was no death. We were at one with God in the Garden of Eden. And then,
bam,
we got kicked out. And ever since then we've been searching how to get back home to the Garden of Eden. How we can be reconciled with God. In the very last chapter of Revelation, there's again a garden. John sees the city of Jerusalem coming down from heaven. And in the center of the city is the throne of God. And out of the throne of God is the river of life that is flowing. And the tree of life is alongside both sides of the river, with all its branches and all the different kinds of fruit. St. Augustine, back in the 5th century, said, O God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. We're all looking for home. We're all looking for the wholeness that home represents. Wholeness with God, wholeness with ourselves, and wholeness with others. Well, the younger son makes a journey home, and before he even gets there, his father sees him coming afar off, and he runs out to meet him, and he wraps his arms around him, and he kisses him, and he calls for the servants to bring a robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and to kill the fatted calf, and to celebrate. He says, he was dead and is alive, and he was lost and is found. So the younger son is reconciled to his father. In the epistle, Paul talks about this reconciliation. He says, in Christ, God was reconciling us to himself. So he says, be reconciled to God. Come home to God, I think is what he's saying. You know, when I was a teenager, I rebelled against my dad. My dad seemed so, he was such an old-fashioned fogey. He complained about the length of my hair, and we disagreed about politics and Vietnam and everything else. And when I left home for college, I was ready to leave it all behind. I didn't really have any use for my dad. My dad wanted me to take ROTC. He'd been through ROTC, got his commission, and served in World War II, just like his father had served in World War I, and so he sort of expected this out of me. And so, to try to not cause any more conflict, I signed up for ROTC, and that's what I did my first semester. It didn't take very well. I didn't care for the hazing and the competition for favor and polishing the brass buttons on my uniform. So the second semester, I did not sign up for ROTC. And my father wrote me a letter saying that he was disappointed. After my second year of college, I decided that I was going to drop out and travel for a while. And my dad did not think this was a wise decision. But I did it anyway. I hitchhiked up to Hamilton, Montana, and I went backpacking in the Selway Bitternut Wilderness for 10 days. And then I hitchhiked down to southern Utah, and I hiked in the Slick Rock Canyons of Utah for 10 days. And then I ended up at Zion National Park, November 1973. Zion, it's an amazing place. This beautiful canyon carved through the sandstone. And they have this wonderful visitor center there. And I would go to the visitor center and look at all the natural history exhibits and just soak it all up. And one morning I came to the visitor center, and outside the door there was a sign in red letters that said, "Emergency message, William Fulton." So I went in and I said, "I'm William Fulton." And he said, "Your family says you're supposed to call home right away." So I went out to the patio and there was a payphone there, and I called home. And my mom said, "Your father was in a car accident and he was killed. The funeral's in 2 days. Come home right away." So I went back to my campsite crying and saying, "Daddy, I never got a chance to tell you I loved you." And I got back to my campsite and I was packing up all my stuff in a big hurry. And the people in the next campsite saw me. And they came over and said, "Is something wrong?" And I told them that I had to get to the airplane because my dad had died. And they looked at each other and they said, "We'll take you." So they took me to the airport in their Volkswagen bus. I remember it was, they were from Prince Edward Island in Canada. And he was a retired professor. The name was T.M. Lothian. I'll never forget them. They were the kindest people. And I got back home and in time for the funeral. My homecoming was not like the prodigal son's homecoming. I never got a chance to reconcile with my father. In many ways, I think over the years I have reconciled with him. In many ways I've become my father. But when I get to heaven, I think that's the first thing I'm going to do. Well, we're all trying to get back home. We all have that memory of home that is in our minds. I hope this morning when we come to the altar rail and we receive the bread and the wine, we will have a little foretaste of coming home to God at the last. Amen.